Blog Talk Radio.
Enough about Tom Brady's deflation problems. Let's talk about Carlos Williams' inflation problems. That and more over the next half hour on this AFC East preview edition of the Fantasy Flex. What's up, fantasy football world? I am Nate over on Twitter at @MillerRotoDad_RotoDad, along with my co-host Brad Wallace. Brad,
how's it going?
A bit of delay there. Brad, where can they find you on Twitter?
At UGA Good.
Okay, I think we're on track now. Let's start right where our intro left us at. I'm done talking about Tom Brady's deflation problems. They've gone on way too long. Carlos Williams, running back from the Bills, showed up at training camp earlier this week about 15 pounds overweight. Now that happens. I mean, it's been an off season. We've had our fun. But apparently his pregnant fiance, whom he now blames for his weight gain, led him to eating more than usual in the off season. My moniker is the Roto Dad. I have two children. I've been through this twice. I've put on 10 to 15 pounds both times. But you don't blame it on the mother-to-be / new mother. Brad, you don't have children, but let me tell you, that's just not a good idea. Carlos,
yeah, I mean,
I'm not an NFL running back. I don't have to worry about it that much. I found a way to take it off. A couple months of salad, brother. You're backing up an injury-prone running back who's coming off a 12-game season where he couldn't play four games. Brad, if Carlos Williams finds his way to more playing time, are we looking at an Eddie Lacy scenario?
I hope not. I like Carlos Williams a lot. I'm confident he'll lose the weight, get back in shape. It's just probably, you know, just the lifestyle change, you know, having a new child. Like I said, I don't have children, but I do have a wife, and I know that blaming something like that on the wife is not a good idea.
I'm fat now. Thanks a lot, babe. I'm still going to bring in the money, but of course I haven't made it on the big time, so I'm not bringing in the millions and millions. Carlos, let's get it on track, brother. We're cheering for you. I'm pretty sure my co-host here is high on your prospects for the season, especially after, I mean, that dude made a real splash last year, averaging, backing up LeSean McCoy, averaging, I think, right around 5.5, maybe a little more yards per carry, scoring 7 touchdowns. You still high on this guy,
yeah.
Brett?
Oh, yeah. I had him in a few leagues last year when Sean McCoy was hurt, and it was fun to ride the train while McCoy was injured. I'm still high on him. Partially because I don't think LeSean McCoy is going to stay healthy either. And then I just like Carlos Williams' talent. He just looked better running the ball last year than McCoy when he was healthy. So.
Yeah, I think Eddie Lacy, springs to mind, and he was a major disappointment last season. But his issues went right up until the season. Williams has got a chance, a couple months here to get it under control. It's not that difficult, especially with NFL coaches riding your ass a little. I think he's going to be fine. Rank this guy up against the other handcuffs / backups around the league. I mean, to me, he's got to be one of the top backups.
He's at least top five as far as the backups go, maybe even higher. He's a valuable player to have. I think this is just a one-time situation, him not being used to, having a child. So I don't think it's quite the China food Eddie Lacy scenario.
There's a lot of emotions that go into this. There's a lot of – it's just a lot of – I mean, the, sometimes the health, fit. I mean, they're all human beings. Let's not forget that. And the emotions that go along with bringing a child into the world, you know, becoming a father, mother, parent for the it. Sometimes, I mean, these things that are so normal to you just take a back seat in your mind. And I can tell you that from experience. I mean, he's quoted as saying it's back to football now. So that's what we all want to hear. Let's talk about the guy he's going to be handcuffing, backing up, maybe even splitting carries with. The veteran, LeSean McCoy. Where do you see him? Is this guy still, I mean, is he close to a first-round talent anymore? Or is this a guy you want to wait on? Where do you see McCoy overall?
I don't want him in the first round, that's for sure. I mean, I guess he probably has, you know, the upside to be a first-round talent, but I just don't see it. I have him inside my top 15. He's my 13th overall running back right now. So somewhere in second round, I feel, probably late second round, I feel better about drafting LeSean McCoy.
Okay. I think people know him pretty well around the league. We kind of got a good gauge. I'm comfortable having him as, I mean, most leagues are two running backs. I'd like to have him as a second running back if I can get him to fall maybe into the fourth round. I'm not going to use it. I'm pretty sure I won't use any of my first three picks in most drafts on a LeSean McCoy. Sticking in Buffalo, their breakout guy last year. A lot of us were – some were laughing. Some of us didn't know what to expect. I personally thought – was interested to see, but I could see the downside and the potential upside. Tyrod Taylor, I mean, a breakout QB last season. The diminutive, I mean, they list him at 6 foot tall. I'm going to say he's probably not even that tall. And, you know, most teams are looking for a 6'4", 6'5", quarterback with a huge arm. This guy's athletic ability, he really impressed over 14 games last season. Went 7-6, threw for over 3,000 yards, 20 touchdowns, and added, I mean, he's got the running ability too. Tyrod Taylor stick at about those numbers, or does he take another step forward?
If he can stay healthy, I think he takes a step forward. He has top 10 QB upside. It's actually, you look at his numbers last year, it's really impressive with not playing the full 16 games, you know, where he finished. I think it was just outside of the top 15 among quarterbacks. And how many games did he miss? At least four or five.
Just two, actually.
Only two.
Got him at 14 games. I mean, what sticks out to me is an almost 64% completion, you know, 99.4 rating overall, 20-6 TD to INT ratio. I mean, I'm pretty sure he beat the expectations of anybody and everybody last season.
Yeah, I had a few shares of Tyrod Taylor last year, and yeah, when he was healthy, and it was fun. I enjoyed having him in a few of my leagues. He's got a lot of upside. Yeah. I've got him projected at about 3,800 passing yards, 25 touchdowns, you know, probably close to 500 rushing yards, and picking up maybe 4 or 5 extra rushing touchdowns. So bringing his touchdown total to right about 30. So I think he's going to have a good season. I think he'll stay healthy. He doesn't get as much volume as some of the other, you know, fantasy quarterbacks, but his rushing ability it puts him up there.
It's that extra little oomph. I would say he, you know, I don't mind him as a starting quarterback in a 12-team league. I really don't.
No, yeah, where do I have him ranked? I have him 12th right now, and I just bumped up Kirk Cousins above him, but I would love to have him in the 12-team league. He's actually one of my draft targets, I have to say.
Especially if you could drop down to like a 10th or 11th round pick on him. I mean, you taking him in there?
Oh, yeah. He has potential to have really good draft day value. So it just depends, yeah. There might be some people that reach on him, you know, looking in 8th, 9th round, but yeah, 10th round value, I'll take Tyrod Taylor all day.
Well, speaking of signal callers in this division, I feel like the AFC East is where the most questions lie. I mean, literally with every team, even in New England, that's where we're going. And I'm going to make this short and sweet. Tom Brady, he's good. He's likely to miss the first four games next year. I mean, and then the next 12, he very likely could be the top quarterback in fantasy football. I don't want to spend much time there. Everyone pretty much knows where Tom Brady is. It doesn't seem to matter how old the guy gets, what injuries he might take, how inflated the footballs he uses are. I mean, who's going to throw the most passes through the first 4 weeks? If anyone's looking for a sleeper, trying to gain an edge in those first 4 weeks, who's going to be tossing the ball around New England?
Well, I don't know who's going to be tossing the ball in New England. I just know that if I draft Tom Brady, I'm going to be looking for a replacement-level quarterback in fantasy, and I'm looking at Kirk Cousins, Tony Romo, Eli Manning, Derek Carr, or even a Joe Flacco. All five of those quarterbacks have great first four-game schedule. So I think Tom Brady, with one of those replacement-level quarterbacks added in, is still a top-five quarterback for the whole season.
How
who's tossing the rock in New England the first four games, it's got to be Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, I thought you would go there. I mean, they did bring in Jacoby Brissett from NC State. And, it seems like with Belichick, you have to be around that team, earn his trust a little, know the playbook. I would say Brissett's talent level is way above Garoppolo's. That's just my personal take, and maybe I'm being a little biased toward my ACC football inclination there. But, yeah, I'm with you. Is Garoppolo a guy, and I think, what are we looking at, two quarterback leagues where you might plug him into your second over the first month of the season? Or do you just avoid it altogether?
Yeah, I think in maybe 12, 14-team, two quarterback leagues, Garoppolo could have some value. Trying to pull up the Patriots' game schedule so I can see who they're playing in those first four games.
Are you willing to say that Garoppolo has top 25 QB value for the first month of the season?
Yeah, he's right around there, I think. Let's see. I'm trying to see who they play. Looks like Cardinals, Dolphins, Texans, and Bills. Three of those four games are at home. So
that's some defensive talent he's going to be facing, though.
you don't want to start him against Arizona. Houston's they have a good defense as well. Maybe against
Buffalo.
The Dolphins and the Bills. I might. It just depends. You know who else you have in a two quarterback league. Maybe against the Bills. I'd start him against the Dolphins probably.
Let's not talk about Jimmy Garoppolo too much.
Like I said, I think there's better options. You know, you draft a second quarterback if you're going to have Brady. You know, look for a Kirk Cousins, Romo, Eli, Carr, or even a Joe Flacco.
So just to pay it a tad bit more lip service, we're both. It's looking like Tom Brady is going to be out those first four games.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get out of the suspension this year.
Okay, well, let's talk about the tight ends that any quarterback in New England might be throwing the ball to. Now, Gronk, he's still the number one guy. That's just clear cut, correct?
Oh, yeah.
And the real question.
Gronk is the number one tight end.
Yeah, he is. I mean, this guy, if he gives you – I mean, even if he only gives you 13 or 14 games maybe, week in and week out, he's reliable. I don't think it matters QB. I don't think it matters defense. He's a beast, and that's what it's going to be. But the guy that the Patriots brought in this offseason from Chicago, and this guy's been an easy top 10 tight end, plenty of points in his career. Now, he frustrates some with a lack of consistency, but Martellus Bennett in that New England offense, especially when Tom Brady's at the helm. How good can he be as a number two tight end?
I think Gronkowski and Martellus Bennett are going to resemble Gronk and Aaron Hernandez from 2011.
I wasn't going to say that name, but you said it.
Yeah. Well, like I said, don't like the person, but, you know, you have to respect the talent, I guess, from that season and what they did in New England with those two towers at tight end. And I think bringing in Martellus Bennett, they're trying to recreate some of that magic. I think I've got him inside my top 15 right now, and I think he has the potential to be a top 10 tight end this year.
I hear you. I mean, the Patriots have been trying to recreate that two tight end little scheme there, and they just haven't found quite the right fit or upside ability from Tim Wright, Scott Chandler. I mean, these guys, but Martellus Bennett, I mean, this guy's been catching passes from Jay Cutler mostly the last few years. Let's go ahead and say Tom Brady's a little more accurate than that.
And, yeah. He throws a few less interceptions, too.
Yeah. An over-under on Bennett, 700 receiving yards?
You hit the nail on the head. I have him at 700 receiving yards.
Okay. 5 touchdowns?
Wow. Again, you hit the nail on the head. 5 touchdowns. I have him around 100 fantasy points, you know, in a standard league.
Okay. That'd be pretty solid for a tight end. I mean, and he's going to give you – I think he's going to be a boom or bust play every week. I think that's a given. And if there's an injury to Gronk, top 5 tight end anytime Gronk's out?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if Gronk is hurt, yeah, Martellus Bennett, plug him right in inside the top 5. But yeah, Yeah, in 2015, that would have put him right about, I think, the 8th or 9th ranked tight end on the season if he's right at around 100 fantasy points. But, I definitely think Martellus Bennett is, you know, firmly inside the top 15 with top 10 potential at tight end.
Let's put it this way, too. Let me put this question to you. Julian Edelman or Martellus Bennett? Which one of those ends up the number two receiver, or maybe somebody else on the Patriots offense, if we're saying Gronk is going to be the leading receiver?
I think Edelman still will be second in the pecking order. As far as targets go, I mean, he's valuable in that slot. Tom Brady loves to target him. But in the red zone, I think Martellus Bennett is going to be that number two option to Gronk. I mean, his size and, you know, it makes more sense. Fantasy wise,
okay,
Julian Edelman is the number two option.
Let's go into another QB situation. New York Jets. This one you could talk about for a while. Ryan Fitzpatrick, I mean, who knows there? I think the Jets are moving to the point where they're ready to go with Geno Smith. What is the highest possible upside with a Geno Smith as far as QB rankings for fantasy football go?
I'm not very optimistic about Geno Smith's potential. I guess
he's definitely working with quite a tandem.
Yeah, he's got a lot of weapons, that's for sure. I mean, I think his upside, you know, is maybe a top 15 QB at best. I just don't have any confidence in him. Please come back, Fitzmagic, please.
So you can have Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker.
Well, Brandon Marshall for sure. I've always loved Brandon Marshall, and it's going to be tough this season to avoid him in all my drafts if Geno Smith is the starting quarterback for the New York Jets. But
I've always been a Brandon Marshall fan too, and he's rather QB neutral just because of how good he is. But let's not sleep on Eric Decker's 1,000 yards and 12 touchdowns last year either.
Yeah, very true. I mean, both of them were top 10 wide receivers. There's a good chance that they could, you know, recreate some of that magic, but I just think that as far as Brandon Marshall goes, you got to expect some regression. I mean, career high 14 touchdowns and just about matched his career high in receiving yards. I think his draft day price is going to be a little too high for me to, you know, be looking and targeting Brandon Marshall in most of my leagues. As much as I love the guy.
Especially if they go Geno Smith starting at QB going into the season, and then they've added Matt Forte, who, yeah, he's getting up there in years, but let's be honest, they're not going to let Smith fling the ball around like they did Fitzpatrick. And Matt Forte is going to command carries. They've still got Bilal Powell as a pretty capable backup. I think you can go ahead and take – you knock Decker and Marshall down significantly from last season. And speaking of Matt Forte, the veteran, where do you see him stacking up around running back? I mean, this guy used to be some people's go-to top one – two, three picks. Where's he at now?
I think he's a top 15 running back with some low-end RB1 upside. Geno Smith at quarterback, I think, increases his value, like you said. I think he'll check down to Forte a lot more, and so you could see an increase in, you know, targets in the passing game for Matt Forte.
Sure.
He's had his injury concerns as well, so... and he's right at that. Is he actually 30, or does he turn 30 this year?
He's inching close to that number. It's
I want to say he's either 30 or he turns 30 this year. I'm pretty sure. And that's usually where the running backs drop off.
Yeah, he just did this past December. He's 30 now with 9 years under his belt.
Yeah, a lot of carries, a lot of touches. With a new team and a new system, that could come into play. I feel like he's going to be one of those boom or bust type players where he's either going to have a stellar fantasy season or he's going to struggle.
So. Yeah, I'm all over Forte if he drops at all in a PPR league. I think he's one of those guys, especially like you were starting to get to, if Geno Smith is the quarterback, Forte could win you some leagues as maybe even a top RB, at least a number two running back on your team in a PPR league. He could be very valuable.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in a PPR league, he might even could be your number one if you, you know, have one of those earlier – round picks and you want to, you know, go the wide receiver route like a lot of people are, you know, doing this year. I think Geno Smith is a quarterback. Matt Forte's value increases. Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker's value decreases.
Okay, well, we've gotten pretty far into this show and haven't even touched on the team down in Miami. Running back down there, you got to say his name twice, I guess. How are you feeling? About the running back situation
so nice,
in Miami.
Got to say it twice. I honestly haven't watched a lot of film on Jay Ajayi. I was actually trying to look at his college numbers. A stunning stat to me is that he has never fumbled the ball in college or his professional career. That's something you got to love. At least you know he's going to have
that.
Good ball security. Yeah, that caught my eye. I think he's a top 20 running back. Miami tends to not give their talented players the ball. I mean, look at what they did with Lamar Miller the past 2 or 3 years. I mean, so many cries.
I think you're speaking from a personal
Lamar
standpoint.
Well, yeah. I have had a lot of stock in Lamar Miller in the past couple of years because I love his talent. And, yeah, it's been frustrating, you know. Needless to say, I'm excited he's in Houston this year. Jay Ajayi's not really – he's unproven in the NFL. But he should get most of the work. And I think he'll be utilized in the receiving game as well. He had 50 receptions for 535 yards in his third year at Boise State. So I think it's pretty clear that he can catch the ball. So maybe looking at 1,100 rushing yards, around 8 touchdowns, and 300 receiving yards. So should be a productive number two running back.
Let's talk about the Dolphins QB situation now. And I don't think they have a QB situation. They've paid Ryan Tannehill all kind of money. He's put up numbers. It hasn't translated into many wins. He looks like a 500 quarterback. He really shows up in some games and disappears in others. Is he a number one QB in a 12-team standard league?
Not a chance. he's barely a backup quarterback. I mean, he makes my top 25 rankings just barely at number 23. But yeah, I don't like Ryan Tannehill. I didn't like him last year. I just don't see him with the potential to be a great quarterback quarterback in the NFL.
I'm not in love with him, but I will tell you right now, we are way off in our view of Ryan Tannehill. You are apparently loathsome of the guy. I don't want him as my number one. I will say that. At a 12-team league. But you're going to expand to 14, 16 teams. I'm looking at him because, me personally, I think he's somewhere in that 15 to 20 range. The guy's thrown for over 4,000 yards each of the last two seasons. 51 combined touchdowns. You can do a lot worse, and I feel like the Miami fan base and the NFL as a whole has, like, this guy's become maligned simply from not living up to expectations, and that's made people think he's bad. I don't think he's that bad. I don't think he's that good. I think he's right in that middle road, and he has room for improvement because they're going to give him the ball. They're paying him to be the center of the offense, and he's got some good targets to throw to, and we'll get to one in just a second. But
yeah, he's got a lot of
we're gonna disagree on Tannehill. Now, speaking of that receiver, Jarvis Landry, is this guy? I mean, I know he is in PPR leagues. Is he a top 10 in a non PPR league? Top 10 at wide receiver?
Not in a PPR. I think I'm just down on Miami as a whole this year. They've got a really tough schedule throwing, you know, water on a grease fire. I'm avoiding Miami. I mean, Lamar Miller's out of there now, so I don't have Jarvis Landry in my top 20. He's right outside. I got him at 21 among my wide receivers. So I think in PPR, yeah, he's a PPR monster, but definitely not in the standard.
Okay, well, I want to let that lead into our either or. And Jarvis Landry, Julian Edelman.
Oh, Edelman, easily.
Wow. I'm a little surprised there. I'm on Landry with that one. Defend that Edelman over Landry pick.
I mean, look who's throwing to him. I mean, I think we've established how much I don't like Ryan Tannehill, and
in circles.
I think Julian Edelman will be healthy. He'll be back at 100% coming off the injury from last year, and I think there's a chance that his numbers could resemble his 2013 numbers. I've got him projected at about 1,200 receiving yards and 5 touchdowns. So I think he's going to have a good season. He's right outside my top 15, you know, wide receiver.
Okay, speaking of guys Edelman will compete for targets with, Martellus Bennett or Buffalo's Charles Clay?
Martellus Bennett. Although I like Charles Clay. I think Charles Clay will have some late-round value and has upside maybe around top 10. top 10, top 15 tight end.
Okay. Now, I wrote this one down, and I feel like that I really don't even need to ask it anymore, but I will. Ryan Tannehill or Tyrod Taylor?
Yeah, I think that's a given. Tyrod Taylor, by leaps and bounds.
I will lean on a slight edge to Tyrod Taylor. We're both going to go with Taylor. I think it's a little closer than you do. Okay, how about a running back comparison? Matt Forte or LeSean McCoy, two veterans who I think have gone in top three, maybe even top overall picks in years past. Where do you see McCoy and Forte stacked up against each other now?
I was waiting on you to ask me this one because they are right next to each other in my rankings. I have LeSean McCoy at 13 and Matt Forte at 14. So I have McCoy edging Forte just barely, though. I've got McCoy projected at about 1,000 rushing yards, 6 touchdowns, and 4 receiving touchdowns, and about 300 receiving yards. And then I have Forte, same rushing yards, same receiving yards. I think he'll just catch a few less touchdowns. I've got him at 4 rushing and 4, or he'll have less touchdowns total and 4 receiving. So they are close, though. They're neck and neck. Both I like both of them, but
okay.
I have to go with LeSean McCoy.
It's something we haven't really touched on too much. Change gears a little bit with our last either or. Jets defense or Bills defense?
Ooh. Have to go Jets, but just barely. And then maybe because they have Revis, but I think Jets. Gotta like their secondary.
I think Muhammad Wilkerson's situation with the contract might be that may be how that plays out might be the determining factor for me between those two.
Yeah, it may. They're close. There's not a lot of separation between the two of them. I just lean the Jets way just a little more than Buffalo.
Are they both top 10 defense?
Yeah, just barely. I think they both, you know, in that 7 to 9 range.
Yeah, and I give their respective coaches a decent, significant little bump, even more so than their talent level, maybe, because Ryan and Bowles are each, you know, defensive-minded guys who I think have proven themselves at the NFL level. That'll pretty much do it for us. We got a few minutes left here. Want to go ahead and tell everybody to give us a follow over on Twitter at FantasyFlexPod. Feel free to leave any comments, praise, maybe insults over there. Brad Wallace, any last words you want to leave us with on this AFC East preview edition?
Let's go back to LeSean McCoy for 1 second, I guess. He has only played in at least 15 games, 5 out of his 7 seasons. So if his injury concerns flare up, Carlos Williams is breathing down his neck. If he can lose some weight, I think Carlos Williams could be, you know, a huge sleeper this year. So,
okay. Well, Brad, I will catch you on our next episode. Sure to launch next week where we'll preview the NFC South. Until then, Brad.